Tonight we're still in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and our text will be verses 35 through 39. And let's make sure as we go through here, if you think of the kids back there, remember to pray for them, that God would open their hearts and speak to them. And this is what it says: do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. We have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But the righteous ones, my righteous ones shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. And with tonight's passage, we find ourselves at the foothills of a great mountain range. This last week I was discussing with a friend the topography of the state of Colorado. He and I both had friends who lived in the eastern part of the state. There in the plains of eastern Colorado, productive farmland abound. Can you envision this? Eastern Colorado is on the western edge of the great breadbasket of the American Midwest. The land is fertile, flat, and fecund. Any farmer's dream. But if one got into the car and drove west, he would soon notice that he was approaching a dramatic change in the landscape. It is flat, just like this. But off in the distance, everything will change. The driver would now find himself in undulating foothills, and standing out in front of him, even further to the west, would be the mighty Rocky Mountains. Well, with verse 35, the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews turns almost imperceptibly to the subject of faith. Then suddenly, before his readers, comes the sight of the mighty mountain range, which is Hebrews chapter 11. I think somehow the letter to the Hebrews would have found its way into the scripture, if not just because of chapter 11. It's one of the greatest texts ever written. So you might say we're heading to that glorious place. Now it wouldn't be inaccurate to think of verses 35 through 39 as an introduction to the chapter 11 of Hebrews. We might even be eager to get to that chapter in all of its scenic glory. But tonight it might be a good idea, as good sightseers, to look at these foothills through which we are driving. There could very well be sights to see, even here. So it's my plan simply to make some observations concerning these four verses, and in doing so, we'll have been readied for chapter 11. Now, you'll notice that the life of faith to which the Christians are called will demand endurance from those who travel the path. Look at verse 36, the first part there. For you have need of endurance. Here's a travel guide telling us that we need to pack endurance. if we're to walk the path of faith that's before us. Now, the word that is translated endurance by the translators of the New American Standard Bible is a compound word. It brings together the words abide and the words under. You might say it, abide under. So the word endurance has the idea of the willingness to live under some kind of pressure. Now, the word, this word in the ancient text is one of the very first words that seminary professors tell preacher boys in school. I don't know why it is, but it is. After the first after giving a little word study, just like I gave it to you, they look very seriously at the student and say, can you live with the pressures without squirting out on to the sides of the burden you're supposed to carry? I think of the my wife used to she had this goal for every year. She would bake a birthday cake for all the two little daughters I have, and there would be a layer for each birthday. Well, you know, by the time they were 12, there's a lot of layers in there. And the icing in those bottom layers couldn't take the pressure. You just... Can you live under the pressure without squirting out the sides of the burden you're supposed to carry in life? The word is variously translated: endurance, perseverance, patience, courageousness even. So here you have it. The author tells us we have need of the ability to take the heat. How's the old saying goes? If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Now, I don't want to know about you, but I sometimes feel like quitting. So if this path of faith that I'm supposed to travel calls for endurance, where am I supposed to get it? I'm not made of such stuff. Well, the answer is simple. You can find the endurance that you need in Jesus. It's that famous passage in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. John says it of himself, I, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and the kingdom and the perseverance which are in Jesus. This is a wonderful passage, and I'd like to spend some time there, but just note simply that perseverance can be found in Jesus. Do you feel like quitting? Giving up in the path to which you are called? Pray. Saint, pray. Brother and sister, pray. The letter of the Hebrews says we have need of patience. And Jesus has a great store of it. All that you could ever need, Jesus has it for you. He will give us all that we might need. Needy Christian soul, if you're in need of endurance, the answer is Jesus. He is the answer to your need of perseverance. It's a good word for a quitter like myself. Now back to our text. In the second half of verse 36, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. The picture is one of the Messiah's servants attempting to do a task for God. He is motivated to accomplish the will of God in the hopes of receiving a reward from his master. The well done and good, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. There is a promise laid before every Christian, no matter where he may live, no matter his race, no matter his sex, no matter his bank account or his social standing. The reward is the joy of your master. Now that's amazing. That's how Matthew chapter 25 verse 21 says it. Enter into the joy of your master. The phrase is mystical. It's poetic. It's utterly simple. And I leave it with you tonight, that phrase. What is our reward? The joy of your master. I hardly know what it means. It's magnificent. And I think that it will explain a great many things, that phrase, the joy of your master. And so I just leave it with you. So meditate on it. I want to stay there, but I reread the passage over. It's repeated there in Matthew. I read it over and over again. What's Jesus telling us? What is our reward? He's going to give us the things that He enjoys, His joys. Those are the things He's going to give us. It's magnificent. Oh, well. Let's move on. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. Now, we touched on this last week, but let's look at the verse a bit more closely. It's a quote from Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And let me read it to you from there in the Old Testament. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by faith. And there's also a little reference in the quote here in Hebrews from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20. Come, my people, enter into your rooms, close the doors behind you, hide for a little while. Both of these texts or calls to the people of God to wait patiently for the fulfillment of the prophet's words. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Psalm 27, verse 14, echoes the same idea. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Here in tonight's text, the author of the letter to the Hebrews uses this text from the prophets to encourage his readers to be steady in their race for God and in their waiting for their coming King, Jesus. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, just above where he quotes, says that the vision was given so that those who read it may run. You and I may carry on the metaphor to say that from our viewpoint, we often see the race set before us as a marathon. Nevertheless, the vision's fulfillment is poised. The word is held by, the sword is held by a mere thread. True prophecy is inspired, as it were, by the very impulse for its fulfillment. The true prophecy is alive. It will come about. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come. Now, time is deceptive for those who wait. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. This is a text for the ages. It is a text for those who wait. Jesus is soon coming. He is coming to usher you and me into his very own joy. That's fabulous. What's it going to be like? I don't care. It's going to be good. It's going to be beyond imagining. It's going to be something that Jesus himself has joy in to give it to us. Back again to our verse tonight, our text tonight. Verse 38 reads, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." It is at this point that the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews brings us from the plains of the foothills of eastern Colorado to the very foot of the Rocky Mountains. He calls us to faith. Faith is called for. We must get some of it. Now, if you or I would be one of God's righteous, faith is called for. Hebrews chapter 11 and its discourse and its declamation set before us. But here in 10 verse 38, the righteous one shall live by faith. These words are just multifaceted. But let me just say simply tonight, the call to us as Christians is not complicated. Oh, how we like to make things complicated. Let me say only this tonight. The call to us as Christians is simple. We are to simply look to God as the answer to all our needs. We are to look to God in every circumstance. We are to look to God in sickness and in health. We are to look to God in the days of darkness or in the days of cloudless skies. We are to live this life in a constant dependence on God. This is faith. It's impossible to please God without this simple thing of looking to Him. But our author puts this truth in a negative way. My righteous one shall live by faith, but if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Now, if you and I insist on living our life without reference to God, if we shrink back from the thought of this constant looking to God in all things, if this life of faith is repugnant to us, or if we cut and run at the thought of such a life, how will God respond to us? Well, he tells us, my soul will have no pleasure in such. There is a day coming for this universe where only one thing will matter, and that is the pleasure of God. The universe will be seen not as a democracy on that day. Polls will not be taken as to what is good or bad, who is worthy of praise or who is deserving of condemnation. No polls will be taken. There's a day fast approaching, so fast, it's coming. On that day, all of humanity will stand breathless and silent before God to hear and see one thing and one thing only. What is God's will? What is His pleasure? Now finally we come to verse 39. We're just moments away from the chapter 11. The idea that our author or any of our author's readers would fail to please God by faith is just too horrible for him to contemplate. For he says, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. The idea that he or his readers in the last would have destruction as their end is just rejected. He says, you're not of that. I like this. This is a tiny bit of comfort. That's not what you're made of. No, no. Our author thinks that of his readers is better than that. So in this letter, he has encouraged them to endure. Hadn't he? We read it over and over again. He's encouraged them to persevere, to have pages, to be courageous, to remain true to Jesus, to do the will of God, and to have faith. We are not of those who cut and run in the face of battle. We're going to be finished real fast tonight, but I bet y'all won't mind. So let's close this introduction to Hebrews chapter 11 by going back up to verse 35. Their author tells his readers that they, even now, have a great reward in heaven. They have suffered much for Jesus already. They have endured ridicule, the hatred of society, the loss of their personal property. There's already in heaven trade laid up for them in heaven, treasures up there already. Something better than the treasures of this transitory age, where moth gets in there and ruins that sweater, or thieves steal. Something better than the treasures of this age. The early church preacher, Bishop of Antioch and Constantinople, Chrysostom, I forget his dates. I should have put it down. 300 AD, somewhere in there. He's one of the church fathers. He said it succinctly. You need nothing else but to stand as you have stood. Then, when you come to the end, you may receive the promise. So seek nothing here. You have need of only one thing. Listen. You have need of only one thing to bear with the delay. You're at the point of receiving your crown of victory. You have suffered afflictions. You have borne all the combats of imprisonment. Your earthly property has been despoiled. What then? Endure only the delay. Wait in patience and have faith, for he who is coming will come and will not delay. I just say hallelujah to it. Praise be to Yahweh. Praise be to Jesus. He is soon coming. And listen, his reward is with him. Count the years as months. Count the months as weeks. Count the weeks as days. Any day now, he can appear. I once asked my mother, I had a great confidence in my mother that she could get a hold of God and listen, and he would tell her stuff. So I asked her one day, I said, Mom, I wish you'd pray about this thing about Jesus coming back soon. It's been a long time. So she said, I'll pray about that for you. And so there came a moment in our little history together. She said, I said to her, I said, what has he said? She said, he said in my heart, he is coming soon. Is that enough? All right, let's pray. Father, we just say in our hearts that you'd be so kind to give quitters such as we. Your very own patience that we might run the race, that we might enter into your own very joy. We thank you that you've saved us. And there's very little left for us in this life except just bearing with a few moments of delay. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who is promised is faithful. Amen. Amen.